Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/morningstream today to get 10% off your first month. TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like David Mills, David Nelson, and David Oliveira. A lot of Davids. Jeez. Three Davids. Coming up on TMS, Misty and the Hand Shandy.
Crossing the celebrity sex worker streams.
Declare your poop.
1-900 annoying puppets.
Party all the time and something in your butt.
R-O-L-A-I-D-S spells. Funktastic.
Crappy jewelry.
If you can't see the puppets, it's just a guy doing a dumb voice.
Organ transitions.
Depressing buttons.
What happens on TV at 2 a.m. nowadays?
A bird murderation.
The chuddening.
A little stymie.
That time of the month with TV's Travis and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Yeah.
Let's do a, then I'm going to hit play on this thing. So here goes.
Oh,
this
play is or the record. You should hit record.
Well, yeah, record is good.
Are we
going
to listen to a podcast or are we going to record a podcast?
We're going to definitely record it, and then people are going to listen.
Oh, you are going to you're gonna play top show stuff. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I got play, I got record, I got all the buttons, Brian. Yeah, they're all ready to be pushed. Good.
You press them together. You press play and record together, and that's how you record a podcast.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to depress them together. That's how it's going to go. Here we go, everybody. Enjoy this in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, what you going to do today, Marty?
I'm going to call 976-7777. They're going to tell me a great story every day.
I'm going to ask my parents if it's okay if I call 976-7777.
Nah, me first.
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 $2 per call plus possible toll. Ask your parents' permission before calling.
Woo, yeah.
The Morning Stream. Monkey Wannabe.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's the morning stream for October 10th, 2023. Scott Johnson here. Brian Ibbett there.
Yeah.
That puppet line, by the way, not edited. They were that annoying with their commercial.
I would pay $2 a minute just to stop that commercial.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, they did about, five too many. No me, or whatever it was.
Me first.
It's too much. Come on, guys.
It really is. Nobody's listening to that saying, well, if they do one more me first, then I'm totally going to call that number. Yeah. I'm totally going to spend my hard-earned money and hear whatever the
they
hell.
They finally convinced me after the 14th me first.
And I'm exactly.
I did think about calling it here on the show, but I thought better of it. I'm not going to call that number because there's no way it still exists. It's a 1-800-1900 listen to a puppet tell you a story line.
Really?
Yeah. And I thought, what's that in 2023? And I bet if we called it, it'd be some porno thing or some, you know what I mean? Because those never stay. No one ever keeps those numbers.
Here's the thing with that. It's kind of like the Michael Winslow, back in the day, early Mac days, you could buy, like After Dark had your screensavers, and then you could buy packs of screensavers that were like Star Trek screensavers or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they also had, I think it was even the same company, had sound files that you could load into your computer using ResEdit, I believe. And like instead of an alert noise, you'd get boop or something like that.
Sure.
Or what, Star Trek thing. Well, they also had a Michael Winslow set. And you could have Michael Winslow giving you a police siren, woo, 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 instead of your alert noise. Or, you know, when you had a eject your disc, it would go, or something like that, right? Like you know, something like Michael Winslow can only do.
Yeah.
But what's dumb about that is that if you don't see Michael Winslow, it doesn't work because you're just hearing somebody doing a sound that sounds like a thing.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is you look at the people who, like the person who's doing that, it's really cool. I think the same thing is true with calling a 976 number to hear puppets tell you a story. If you can't see the puppets, it's just a guy doing a dumb voice reading you a story.
Yeah. I feel like you'd have to be a kind of let me put this very gently.
Yes, we have puppeteers in the audience. One of whom is...
Shade to them. Puppeteers, you're awesome. I think this commercial is not good for your business because there's no way that they were actually doing any puppeting after the fact. The commercial's all you're going to get. And only kids who are just a little on the slowish side are going to buy this. They're going to see this and go, puppets, so let me get on the phone. Any other kid who's actually paying attention knows... You ain't going to get no, there ain't no puppetry on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be lucky if you, I'll bet it wasn't even live people. I bet it was just like pre-recorded bull crap, you know?
Oh, it definitely was. Are you kidding for those 976 numbers? Unless you're talking to Misty, who's doing a little hand shandy on you, it's, you know, you're basically hearing the recording of something that is going to go as slow as possible to milk you out of as many minutes as possible.
Yeah. And we lived in the time for this. When we were coming up, every night it was looking for hot girls on a cold Friday night in the fall.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Called 919. It was always on. Every channel had a thing. Usually
and it started
later
with a saxophone.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm lonely. I sure wish somebody would call me.
Yeah. Or party lines. Lots of party lines.
It'd be the first commercial break of American Gladiators at 12:05 a.m. after Saturday Night Live. Yep.
It's like, this is Friday and you don't have anywhere to go? Join the party line. 1-900-PARTY.
When the 976 phase died down, then they just moved on to Girls Gone Wild videos. And now I don't know what they do. They're probably trying to sell Bored Ape NFTs or something.
I don't know. What happens today? What happens at 2 a.m. now on television, like a local channel?
Yeah.
Does anyone know? I mean,
does a local channel even make noise if nobody's there to hear it?
Yeah. But it's like, you know, I know for a while you could flip something on and there'd be Cher talking skincare products or something. And then another time you'd flip it on, it'd be like Ron Popeil with some bullshit. But I don't know what it is now. I assume infomercials still exist.
My guess is that commercial is usually followed up by Bruce Willis Seagram's wine cooler commercial. You mean the one where he goes, Seagram's golden wine cooler. And he's holding a harmonica on the front porch of some house with a bunch of blues musicians.
Yep, those were the days.
Yeah.
Was he actually in a band? Was that the whole point? Or was that just
him? I mean, he did his whole Return of Bruno album, his whole, like, I'm a fake singer named Bruno. Like, one of the first post-Spinal Tap music mockumentaries was that HBO Return of Bruno, where they had a whole fictional backstory for Bruce Willis as Bruno.
Wow.
I have the whole dumb album.
Really? You have it?
Yeah, on vinyl.
What?
Yeah.
Brian.
I mean, of course I have it on vinyl. Yeah.
Good Lord, Brian. I don't know what to say.
The Return of Bruno. He did a cover of, if you don't, it's not Express Yourself. If you don't respect yourself, ain't nobody gonna give a hoot. Nah, 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 whoa, whoa. Respect yourself.
Wow.
The old classic 60s Motown thing, and he did his...
I just can't imagine why it didn't explode into a new career for him. I just can't find...
I can't figure out why Columbia House didn't want that album back.
Yeah.
he covered Under the Boardwalk as well, yeah.
You should keep that Eddie Murphy album.
I have that on vinyl, too. No surprise there.
Man. That thing.
I gotta put some of those up here in place of the Rolling Stones.
I think you should put Bruce Willis up there. Oh, I found a Seagram's commercial real quick here. Check this out. Let's play this.
Hey, my fellas.
Turn it up some. Oops.
Seagram's golden wine cooler. Seagram's golden wine cooler. It's wet and it's dry. Golden wine cooler. My.
They're just like singing into bottles, man.
Yeah. And, I think I pretty much nailed the impersonation. I think I might have even been on the right, like in the right starting note. I think it's so burned into my head.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Eddie Murphy had 3 albums. We're not talking about comedy.
3 music albums. Not talking Delirious or that. The only one I know of is How Could It Be. Music wise, did he have more?
What
was that? The one that had party on the time, party all the time was the big one on that.
Party all the time and the something in your butt or whatever. What was that?
Yeah, I don't think he didn't put that one on that album. That was a little one off comedy single.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that was all part of it.
Let's take a look. I'm pretty sure How Could It Be is not.
So How Could It Be 1985? Oh, yeah, there were 3. So the chat was right. So How Could It Be, So Happy, and Love's All Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that was 93. Jeez. These were all considered Motown. Oh, no, that was Motown label.
They weren't all released the same year? Were they all released the same year?
No, 85, 89, 93. So spread out. But I don't remember him doing that as late as 93. That seems insane to me. I can't believe that. Yeah.
CON Confused. Oh, my God. I need to get this album out. This is so... So bad.
It's pretty bad.
Oh, God, that's right. And a couple of these songs were, like, Party All the Time was Rick James, because he comes in and does, she likes to party all the time. That's his little contribution to that song. But then he also does Everything's Coming Up Roses by Stevie Wonder and Do I.
So it's mostly covers?
Produced and written. So... written by Stevie Wonder, but not covers.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Doesn't look like any of these things are covers on this album.
There he is, everybody. There's a shot of the video shown to the chat room. Party All the Time, Eddie Murphy. What a moment in music and comedy crossover history. Wow.
Oh, wow. Nile Rodgers co-produced his second album. That's surprising. With songs like Put Your Mouth on Me. Till the Money's Gone. Oh, I think maybe those go together, and that explains what he was doing in that that Chevy Suburban with Something Brown. What was her name?
Oh, crap. It is Something Brown.
Tiffany Brown?
Tiffany Brown. Wait.
Tiffany Brown. Brown. What was it?
Brown. Eddie Murphy.
What's her name?
Oh, we got to find this. Melanie Brown. Melanie Brown?
Not Melanie Brown.
Oh, man. I can't find it.
Shoot.
Oh, Mel B. Was that is Melanie Brown Mel B? Because they were together.
No, he was with Melanie. He was with Mel B. I mean, he's the father of one of her children.
Yeah, Mel C.
Not Downtown Julie Brown. Not Yvette Nicole Brown. Good Lord, you people are horrible.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know nothing.
Or am I confusing that prostitute with the, what was the name of the?
The one with the Hugh Grant prostitute. Hugh Grant prostitute.
Hold on. That might be who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, we got our celebrity prostitute dalliances crossed. We got them mixed up.
I do like, you go to the Hugh Grant Wikipedia page and it's got philanthropy filmography awards and honors. We should have philandery and philanthropy.
Yeah, you missed the other PH in there.
Personal life. Let's see if that's it.
There'll be some.
Divine
there.
Brown. Jeez Louise, that's who I was trying to come up with. Yes, Divine really? Brown was
Divine
the one with
Divine Brown. Oh my god,
Divine Brown was the one with Hugh Grant.
Clearly, her real name. There's no way that's fake.
Her real name is Divine Jones. Oh, that's interesting.
Divine is really her real name?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No. Her real name is Estella Marie Thompson.
Ah, that makes more sense. That fits with what I predicted.
Yeah.
speaking of celebrities and weird stuff.
Boy, oh boy, it was a deep, dark hole.
Yeah, we went places. I found a clip that I must share and then discuss.
Okay.
So are you familiar with Al Michaels, sportscaster Al Michaels?
Yes. All right. Yeah.
Does good work, right? We like him.
I know his voice, and I know if I saw a picture of him, I'd say, oh yeah, that's Al Michaels, but I couldn't tell you. I could tell you what his voice sounds like. I couldn't tell you what he looks like.
I can totally picture him because they used to always cut to the camera in the booth with him and John Madden standing up with their headsets on. And so I always see him in that context. He's always standing there talking into a mic about a really important part of the game. But the guy's done, you know, many Super Bowls and is considered one of the great sportscasters of all time. Well, he sat down with an interview, or for an interview, with Chris Wallace. And okay. Chris Wallace, formerly of Fox, now of CNN, like his dad, pretty good interviewer. What was his dad's name? Mike Wallace.
Mike Wallace, yeah.
So I thought, oh, this sounds great. This sounds interesting. I'll sit down and listen to this. I'm an Al Michaels fan, and I like Chris Wallace. Let's see what these guys have to say. And this is what I heard. And then we got to talk about it. Okay? So okay. Here right. It is.
Can't wait. Play it. Play the clips.
For some reason, it got moved. Hold on. Why did it move? Oh, that's neither good nor bad. Hold on. I got to find out why the file's wrong. Oh, my gosh. Where is it? Did we lose it?
Oh, no.
Did I screw up? Hold on. Hold on to your butts.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, hold on to my own butts.
Yeah, hold on to your own butts. Where is this? Hold on. Sorry, everybody. Hold on.
All right.
Did I screw up and put it? Oh, my gosh. I don't have the file anymore.
Okay. Do you have it on? Can you find it on YouTube?
Well, that's going to be today's next goal. So here goes.
Okay. You want me to talk about my thing? I got.
Yeah, do that while I'm looking. I can't believe I don't have this. Something's funky in my life. So go ahead.
You find it. And if you're able to listen in while you're finding it, I know it'd be distracting. But I'm going to throw in, because I know Stephanie's here and she was really hoping I would do this, a couple of really quick app recommendations, game recommendations that I am totally digging. First up is Monster Hunter Now. So I'm not playing Monopoly Go anymore. It just got too samey, and it was just a matter of like keep rolling and keep doing this and keep doing that, and there was no end game in sight. Now I'm playing Monster Hunter Now, which is the mobile version of Monster Hunter that's made by Niantic, and it's basically Pokemon Go, but you're destroying the monsters, taking their parts and using them to make armor for yourself. So it's like you're smashing a Jigglypuff and then putting Jigglypuff skin on your face and walking around with it.
Interesting, because I was going to add, I played Monster Hunter the real series before, and the game is a lot about tracking down the most hard to kill creatures so that you can then make armor out of it. So they have mashed that in there. That's interesting.
It's a lot of fun, and it's got the aspects of Pokemon Go that I really like, kind of like the, hey, walk around a little bit and you're going to find some cool stuff. What's really cool about, so, you know, when you're playing Pokemon Go and let's say you have the app open, but your phone turned off. Stephanie, I'll wave when it's time for you to come back and listen to the show. I think she's muted.
Yeah. She's probably gone to another house at this point. She hates this.
Right. But when you drive around with the app, even with your phone off in your pocket, you have this little assistant named Palico, and it's like I think it's from the main series games as well. It's like your little friend who's a cat, I guess, combining Pal for friend and Calico for cat.
Sure.
And he will paintball monsters for you while you're driving around, so that when you get to a safe place, you can open up the app and say, oh, here are five monsters I found for you as you were driving around. Now you can attack them at your leisure. You have 2 days, 48 hours to attack these monsters. And you just basically attack them like a raid. Really, really cool. He'll also like collect stuff to put in your bag. You don't need to have a special, you know, cheater device like the Pokemon Go Ranger or the Pokemon Go Plus or whatever.
Nice. Like a little old Sherpa guy doing all your bidding. I like it.
It is. But the game's fun. It, you know, it really requires you to be good at learning how to dodge attacks. You'll see a little flash when the monster is about to attack and you kind of swipe left or back or right, depending on which kind of attack it is, to get out of their way. Anyway, totally digging that one. Second one is Slay the Spire. I know people have been raving about Slay the Spire since it's been on Steam. You being one of them, you even nearly getting me. You got me to put on my wish list, but I never broke down and bought a copy. Glad I didn't, because it was on Apple Arcade, and so it's a free game. Well, free if you pay for
Apple Arcade.
Apple Arcade. And holy crap, I'm loving that. I'm almost playing that more than Marvel Snap right now, Slay the Spire. It's so good.
There are a million people trying to capture what they captured very simply, and it's really, really hard to. No other game has quite gotten it. It's very, very, very good.
So good. Deck building, roguelike, basically.
Yeah.
You're working your way up through a dungeon, every level, and you're attacking things and figuring out which direction you want to go and getting health, but also buying new cards and getting new cars and cards and stuff like that. Very cool. I said deck building, Claire. Don't get excited.
Yeah, don't get excited. What are you? Calm down, Claire. There was no other D.
Deck.
Yeah.
Deck building,
deck,
Claire.
Deck. I mean, I understand deck if building. You're a New Zealand or something, maybe, but deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deck. That's not right. Dick. That's right, Sierra. Next, we did talk about Slay the Spire. You were another person that like yelled at me to finally to break down and get that one.
It's really right, good. So, I'm glad to hear it. The art style is my only problem with it. It's just a weird art style that it doesn't really jam.
It feels, I know, like if they could improve the art style a little bit, I'd be a lot happier. Mm-hmm. But
the game, man. Whew, so good.
The game's so good. I am going to, because we've already got like a, you know, Monopoly Go chat and Coffee Golf and Baldur's Gate in the core forum. I'm going to start a Monster Hunter Now thing for people with recommendations.
Oh, you should.
And sharing and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
no, so. That's a great place for it. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, I found the clip.
Cool.
Don't know what happened there. I lost my mind. I did this all last night, so I know I had the file, but I must have deleted it thinking it was the wrong file. Anyway, so I'll play it raw from the website I found it on. So this is that interview. This is Chris Wallace. It's only a minute long, this clip, talking to legendary sportscaster Al Michaels. And then they talked about this, which is very weird.
Is it true that you have ever knowingly eaten a vegetable?
Why isn't it playing? It stopped. Oh, my gosh. Nothing wants to work for me today. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Let's try that again. Okay. Can we refresh it? What's going on, Al Michaels? You're a pro.
Is it true
Here we go.
That you have never knowingly eaten a vegetable in your life?
That is true.
That is true.
Well, I want to keep playing.
Really? Okay.
It won't keep playing. Oh, my gosh. Why is it doing this? All right. One more time. And then I give up. Okay.
Is it true that you have never knowingly eaten a vegetable in your life?
That is true.
That is true.
I was born when my parents were 18 and my mother hadn't even read Dr. Spock at that point, so she just let me have the run of the course, and I always push the vegetables away. To this day, no. And I guess what I've proven, Chris, is that man does not need vegetables to survive.
But is it just possible that you would like, I'm thinking of one of the more non-objectionable vegetables, a carrot?
Oh, please. Please.
A carrot?
No, a carrot. No, that's an objectionable vegetable.
I mean, I was, really? What, I mean, how would you know? You've never tasted it.
I look at it. I just don't even like the look of it.
And call I it an surmise objectable.
What it might taste like in terms of...
He goes on to say it's a texture thing and so on and so
really?
Forth.
Really?
I can't believe that Al Michaels, this very handsome 68-year-old man...
No kidding.
Who looks like he's been in fine shape his whole life... Yeah. I mean, are we being lied to? Do vegetables not matter at all?
No kidding. What? So what? He's never had like a pizza that had anything but meat on it?
Well, see,
meat,
and that's...
cheese, sauce, and bread?
That's where my brain went to.
The sauce made out of Al Michaels?
Yeah. Well, that's fruit, right? The sauce is... They're technically...
Yes, tomatoes are fruit.
Yeah,
sure.
Kind of. All right. Although it shouldn't be. But anyway, I'm with you. My brain immediately went to, well, wait a minute. You've had other... You've had like a, I don't know, a chicken pot pie. And there's like a little chunks of carrot and potato and other stuff in there. Are you telling me you never had that? Or does he pick those out? Like, I want to know more, and they didn't go more into it. I want to know if he, like, dissects his food to eliminate all vegetable-based products from it. Technically, he's eaten fries before, probably. Now,
probably.
I know that potatoes aren't necessarily considered a vegetable, but the vegetable oil it's cooked in... Like,
wait a minute, hold on. This is new. I mean, tomatoes being fruit, yes. Are potatoes not considered a vegetable anymore?
They were just a tuber. Are they not?
Well, a tuber is a subset.
Potato a vegetable? Oh, there's so many searches on this. I'm glad I'm not alone. Is a potato a vegetable? This says no, but let me... Okay, this one says yes. Let's see. Yes, potatoes are vegetables. They are grown as a vegetable crop, eaten like other vegetables, taxed as a vegetable crop, and most importantly, they don't have seeds inside their flesh, which puts them in the category of vegetable. Okay, yeah, there you go then.
Yeah.
Okay. I, for whatever reason, I thought those were classified different.
They were in question, like Pluto not being a planet anymore. Yeah. Like potatoes all of a sudden got demoted to non-vegetable status.
Yeah, like one of those. Oh, I'm sorry. Chat says Al Michaels is 78. He looks 52.
Wow. See what vegetables do to you people?
Jeez, what is going on?
They have such a hard time believing that he's never not...
He says never not, never knowingly
never
right.
knowingly not eaten, eaten a ve- never knowingly eaten a vegetable.
Right. Which tells me that once in a while something will get through, you know, because you can't help it. Everything's got something in it.
God, like, never a salad. Not a single salad has ever crossed his lips. Yeah. He is not, like, he goes to a steak place and they say, here's your, what would you like in your salad?
Don't even bring it. Don't come near me with that. You're wasting food if you bring me that salad. Just bring me the steak and you better not put a sprig of parsley on the
That's
on the
right.
Plate.
It's 4th and 2 and we're running out of time on the clock. So get that, get in here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah. man. I just thought that was the weirdest thing. And they don't, and the thing, you know, as usual with interviews like this, if I were, I'd be a terrible journalist because the minute he would say something like that, my brain goes, what about pizza? What about salads? What about this? What about that? Yeah. Like, I would want to
fries.
Dig deeper.
Exactly. I would, exactly. I would, whoever, that Chris Wallace, he stopped too soon. I would have, like, this would have been the entire crux of the rest of my time with Al Michaels, would be saying, what about V8? Have you ever drank a V8? What right. about?
Right. There's so many whatabouts. Like, there's so That's many. Right. You cannot avoid this discussion. I don't know how they just. I don't know how they
California
move on.
California roll, because pretty sure there's avocado in California roll. That's a vegetable.
Like, is he just sitting down at the dinner every night with a steak and a glass of water, and that's Al Michaels? That's what he eats. Like, I don't know.
I guess
no bread, because bread has.
Wait. Why not bread? I mean, is yeast, flour, water?
Yeah. Why not bread?
Egg. I feel like bread's.
You can
do avocado's
bread.
A fruit. Yeah, avocado's a fruit. Right.
That's true. But bread, you could do bread.
One big pit in the middle.
Stoics Grill says tomato sauce is a vegetable. The sauce form of a tomato turns it into a vegetable. Clearly, that's how it works. Tomatoes.
Benjamin Doubleistic says, again, how does he poop? You ever hear the sound of an apple getting run over by a tire? That's how he poops. That's the sound of Al Michaels' poops.
Yeah, where is Al Michael getting his fiber? Where is he? I'm nervous about his colon. All right, I'm just nervous.
Right.
I don't want to look in there. I don't want pictures. I'm just worried about him. All right.
Yeah.
May he call games for the rest of his life. We also got a clip, and this one I did save because I didn't lose the file because I'm not a dumbass in this case.
good.
About how we pronounce the word Worcester. Apparently, we do it wrong. So.
Oh, like in Worcester, Mass?
Yeah.
So we're I said Worcester. Yeah.
I also say Worcester, so we're going to find out why we're wrong. Here we go.
This is another Nick from Massachusetts, not Worcester, Springfield. I just wanted to clarify you guys. You've mispronounced it wrong a few times. It's Worcester. Very simply, Worcester. And then I would call it Worcestershire sauce. Love the show,
though.
What's this sauce? What's this here sauce?
Yeah.
Is the correct pronunciation of that stuff.
But Worcester, yeah, okay. I can
Worcester,
do that.
Yeah. I'd see, here's where I get, I question a little bit. So Worcester, you look at the name of the place and it looks like Worcester. Mass, right?
Right.
It's Worcestershire. What is the actual Massachusetts?
Definitely not W-O-O. It's
definitely not. I think it's W-O-R-S-E.
Here it is. W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R. So Worcester is how
Worcester is what it looks like.
Yeah,
right?
Without the H, yeah.
Right.
So,
do you say pack? I'm going to pack the car. No, you say park the car. But if you lived in Massachusetts, you say, I'm going to go pack the car over there on Harvard Yard.
Yeah.
No, it's a wicked good packing place. I got wicked close.
That's right.
So they don't pronounce the R. Therefore, they're correct in saying Worcester. We live outside of Massachusetts. So we pronounce the R, so we say Worcester. That's my defense, Your Honor. The defense rests.
I think that's a fair. I think if I was the judge, I would say I'm going to allow it, and then I would say the jury can go home. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. That's a weird thing, but
Tina and I had this, not really an argument. We had this discussion when we were in Australia because we went to Sydney, and then we spent a few days up north in Cairns. C-A-I-R-N-S. And I told her I feel weird pronouncing it like the locals do because they wouldn't pronounce it like I do. Like they wouldn't pronounce the cities I live in or the cities I visit in the U.S. the same way I pronounce it because of their accent. Mm. So is it wrong for me to pronounce Cairns or Cairns?
Yeah. Because it looks like they would pronounce like it. Cairns has an R. This is C-A-I-R-N-S, right?
Correct, yes.
That if that is spelled Cairns, then that's effed.
it's pronounced Cairns. Oh, yeah, Cairns.
Yeah, that's effed Cairns up.
For some beach time.
That seems effed to me. And it's not just an accent thing. It's supposed to be an English pronunciation. Well, I don't know the origin of the word, but it's where, in Queensland or something? It's like...
It's northeast,
kind of the tropical zone there. If I'm there, I'm probably saying Cairns, and they're gonna have to pry it out of my dead cold body because I'm not changing.
Yeah, no, lucky Phil, I know you're saying it's pronounced Cairns. Take it as an Aussie, Cairns. That's how you pronounce it. But do you also pronounce what is a similarly spelled city in America?
We have Tooele, and it looks like Thule.
But it's more like all of our R's just are there because they need to be. Yeah. Sacramento, you know, Sacramento, or you gotta pronounce that R to get there.
Yeah. What's with all the silent R's over there?
Claire, I know it's not in America, it's in Australia, but how would an Australian pronounce some of our cities?
Yeah.
Yeah, Louisville is an interesting example.
Oh, yeah, Louisville. New Orleans, yeah. New Orleans, you're not supposed to say New Orleans, everyone gets annoyed.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what's an American city that an Australian would pronounce differently than we do here. I mean,
you know what's
maybe
funny?
That's it. Maybe Louisville is a good example of why I'm not right about this, right? And I'm fully prepared to admit that I'm not right about this. But like an Australian wouldn't say, "Oh no, it's pronounced Louisville." No, it's pronounced Louisville. Oh, I'm going to Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah,
nobody's going to Louisville. Yeah, that's a fair point. Now maybe that's the one. That's the example you found it. You know, Boise, I don't know what they
Norfolk.
Would do.
Norfolk. Well, see, Norfolk. We pronounce it Norfolk.
Yeah, we say Norfolk.
Yeah. Really sounds like you're saying, I know. The more you say it, the funnier it gets. Norfolk, Norfolk, Norfolk.
How would you... So, okay, an Australian with the R thing. Here we have a little town here called Hurricane in southern Utah.
Oh, yeah.
It's spelled like hurricane, straight up hurricane, but it's pronounced hurricane.
Hurricane, yeah.
But then would they even have double trouble with that because there's two R's in it? And it'd be like... they'd say Hurricane. No, I don't know what they'd say.
There's a Versailles, also in Kentucky. No, Versailles. Where's Versailles? It's spelled the same as Versailles in France.
Yeah.
Where's Versailles? Because it's stupid that it's printed in the U.S. It's pronounced Versailles. But is it Indiana? No, where is Versailles? Pennsylvania? Versailles, Pennsylvania? That could be.
Yep, correct. That is correct. Okay.
Would they pronounce the R in that? Would they say Versailles?
Versailles. Versailles.
Or would they say, oh, it's the locals pronounce it Versailles. We're going to pronounce it Versailles with the heavy R.
That town has a population of 1,476 people. That is not a lot of people in Versailles.
It's not a lot of people.
Versailles. Well, there you go.
Wait. Okay, Ace says it's spelled Versailles but pronounced Versailles. So it's, I've heard that it's pronounced incorrectly in Pennsylvania.
So like in Pennsylvania, they say it wrong.
It like Like they, you know, people came from Europe and they said, we're going to put a Frankfurt in Kentucky. We're going to put a, York in New York, in, you know, in your Northeast, but we're going to call it New York.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, we're going to put a Versailles in France, but we're going to spell or pronounce it Versailles instead of Versailles.
Mm. Did they do so? Yeah, that's what I thought too. I thought I've heard people say.
Yeah, here we go. Okay. Merrick says, I'm from Pittsburgh and it's pronounced Versailles. Oh, good. I like Merrick, meet Ace.
Yeah.
Ace, Merrick, you guys figure it out.
Yeah, work together. Come up with some common ground, you two.
Yeah. Once you two have come to an agreement, let me know, and that's what I'll do from now on.
That's all right. Well,
this whole thing is really, I don't feel like I've solved any problems.
No, no problems have really been solved, but we do have one problem to solve, and that is hearing from Jay Funktastic, who also called in about kids' stories. We were talking about kids' stories growing up and things that we sort of thought were real because we were kids, and it's how we heard it, and then later we found out different, and he had this to say.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is Jay Funktastic. And you guys were talking recently about family stories and stuff about funny things that kids do. Well, in my family, when I was about 3 years old, we were having a family gathering, probably Christmas or something like that. The whole family was there. This was roughly about 1980, and I was 3 years old, and my grandpa asked me to spell my name. And I don't know if you guys remember the Rolaids commercial from back in the early 80s, but it was R-O-L-A-I-D-S. That spells relief. Well, he asked me to spell my name, and I spelled Rolaids. So the entire family called me Rolaids till I was about 10 years old. Love the show, though. Thanks.
Love it.
Old J. Rolaids, Funktastic over there.
I love it. Oh, my God. Why is that not your...
Why isn't this your internet name?
It should be your avatar. Your screen name.
Your moniker. Get that going.
I can't hear her talk about Rolaids without thinking of an old punk song from when I was a wee lad, but from the 80s. And I just did a quick search and I cannot find it, but it was a punk song that the chorus was, what's the answer? What's the answer? Rolaids, Rolaids. What's the answer? What's the answer? Rolaids, Rolaids.
I don't know what that is. I've never heard
like
that.
It wasn't Dead Milkman or, but it was somebody along those lines. And I just did a quick search. I am not going to find what's the answer, Rolaids, unfortunately.
And they did, but we're sure it was
some punk song.
Yeah. We're sure it was Rolaids. The word Rolaids was absolutely the word.
Yeah, yeah. What's the answer? What's the answer? Rolaids. Rolaids. Wow. What the heck was that song? Anybody else remember that? Or is it just me? Just a local?
I forgot what Rolaids does. Rolaids heartburn or something?
It spells relief, Scott.
Yeah. But relief from what?
I think it's heartburn and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Like the indigestion, something like that. You ate too much. You went a little ham on the ham and you're like, oh, I need some relief. Well, I got Rolaids. That's what that is. It just seems like such an old man medicine. I don't know.
It really does.
I don't think I've ever had a Rolaids in my life. I don't know what those even look like. All right. That's it.
Well, tomorrow you and I will have a heated discussion about what Uncle Ben's rice was before it was converted.
Oh.
But we don't have time to go into that now.
No time now.
Yeah.
Have to wait until tomorrow, everyone. Hold your breath. But in the meantime, how about some news? It's time for the news brought to you by
More Core. You don't have to be core anymore. Short form videos about some of the gaming topics of the day, all up on the Frog Pants YouTube channel. Get them and more at frogpants.tv.
Just put one up where I talk about the game Rage 2 and that it's underrated. Yeah. People should check that game out. It came out in 2019. Lots of mixed reviews at the time. I just don't think we were ready for it. It's a brilliant little game, super fun, and worth your time. If you like open world games and checking shit off a list, it's a great game. Really good.
Cool. I do like checking things off a list.
I do,
sadly.
Too. That's my favorite thing about, like, when people say, what do you like about Assassin's Creed? And I'm like, clearing that shit out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, having a to-do list and checking items off of it.
Yeah, hopefully they're fun to-dos, you know. But at the end of the day, it's just so like, I've cleared out this part of the map, and I want to go now clear out this part of the map. I'm a fan of that. I love it.
That might be why it's been hard for me to go back and finish Zelda. I mean, I don't know how many hours of the new Zelda game. But you go around, and as you go into cities, as you go into other places, you get little mini quests, and they all stack up in your adventure guide.
Mm.
And that thing, I'm sure I've got so many damn to-dos in my adventure guide.
Yeah, side quests will get you.
Daunting.
Yeah, having that problem in
what's it called right now? Cyberpunk. Baldur's Gate. So many side quests in Cyberpunk. Mm-hmm. Or Baldur's Gate or a million other games this year. This game is like the year of too much shit to play. It's insane. Mm-hmm.
It's an embarrassment of riches, but sometimes I don't want those riches.
Sometimes. You know? Sometimes you don't want them. Well, sometimes you don't want birds, and good news for people who don't like birds, because at least 1,000 birds died from colliding with one Chicago building in one day. So one day, 1,000 birds, one building, dead.
Did they like really quickly construct this building out of nowhere, and the birds didn't know what to do about it?
Put it right in the birds are heading south zone.
Right, the land. What's the, what do you call the airport? The flight path.
Flight
put
path.
It right in the bird flight path.
Yeah. So at least 1,000 birds died from colliding from a single building in Chicago on Thursday. That was the fifth as they migrated south to their wintering grounds. Volunteers are still recovering bird carcasses. Carcassi? I don't know how to say it. Within 1.5 miles of McCormick Place, the largest convention center in North America, which is largely covered with glass. This is the building that they're referring to. It's the tip of the iceberg. But it is a huge, huge amount of birds we found both dead and injured, says Annette Prince, director of Chicago Bird Collision Monitors.
Oh, yeah. We call them the CBCM.
The CBCM. Oh, my gosh.
CBCM.
Collision monitors.
Bird collision monitors.
I love it.
How many people work for the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors? I'd like to know.
Not enough. We need more than just Annette Prince. She added that this was the largest number of bird strikes that the group ever recorded from the grounds of one building in a single day. So I'm guessing, on average, birds smack into a lot of buildings, especially glass ones, if I had to guess, in a big city. Sure. So it's probably not unheard of that happens, but 1,000 on one building, it's a little, you know, it's a little Hitchcocky.
It is. I mean, those are birds who are like flying in formation and clearly only looking at the butt of the bird in front of them and not looking any further than that. So that, you know, it's like, you know, you're following too close. You're tailgating, if that's the problem, because you're not able to see when the traffic in front of you is coming to a stop.
Never stare at a bird's butt for too long.
Yeah, no, exactly.
We found two bird carcasses yesterday. I don't know what's going on here with the birds. But we found two dead birds in the yard. Yeah, no cats out there. Just a dead bird and another dead bird.
We saw that happen in the Conjuring, Scott.
Oh, birds shit. Bitten, I forgot about that.
In windows. Yeah. They were trying to go through glass, apparently.
That's right.
This photo is just heartbreaking. Look at all those birds.
I know. You don't want that many. I think birds are kind of dicks, but I don't want them to die. I don't want them to be dead, you know. Birds can be dicks and not be
Tennessee
dead.
Warblers and hermit thrush and American woodcocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Say that one with really good pronunciation. Woodcocks.
Woodcocks.
At least 1,000 birds. Look at that. And they've all lined up like some kind of horror show. Look at that.
did they land like that? Because now I'm thinking some sort of Hitchcockian conspiracy.
Yeah. Or was it someone's job to lay them on their little backs? Yeah.
No, it's that guy's job right there.
That's adorable.
It's nondescript Old Navy t-shirt guy right there who's, hey, do me a favor, Bill. Would you line up all those birds so we can take a photo for the paper?
It's our big chance for some publicity there, Bill. Get that going.
So we really need people to know about the Chicago Bird Collection Monitors.
Yeah.
Collision Monitors.
Yeah, this is an outreach program, not really a news story. Yeah. Anyway, all the birds are dead and whatever. Moving on to this story.
It's a lot of poultry that
whole lot of poultry.
Could be cook that poultry. Feed it to Al Michaels.
Yeah, Al Michaels, he'll eat it. As long as it doesn't have any, you know, freaking vegetables on it, he's fine. Right. staying in the animal kingdom for a moment, we got a woman here with a box of giraffe poop. That she said she was planning on making into a necklace. It got seized at the Minneapolis airport. This is trouble.
Oh.
It's my sister, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. It's not here. This is funny, the word necklace. We went to Costco last night to grab some stuff, and we went with the kids, and Phoebe was there. And if anyone walks by, she's now a year old. Her birthday was, I don't know, 4 days ago. And she's learning how to speak. She can do three syllable words like peekaboo. She can do, it's weird. She just picks this stuff up. Yeah. And some lady walks by And I swear we didn't know she could say this word. Lady walks by with big pearls around her neck.
Yeah.
And Phoebe reaches out her left hand, like squeezing the air with her left hand, and went, "Necus, necus, necus."
Wow.
And I don't know where she got. Taylor looked at me like, "What the frick?" Because she doesn't talk to her about necklaces. So I don't know what's going
really?
On. Yeah, that kid's a little knowledge sucker. She's insane. Anyway, so here's the deal.
She's trying to say knockers.
Knockers. Knockers. this lady was going to get this giraffe poop. She was going to make a necklace out of it, some sort of jewelry, right?
I guess. Yeah, I'm looking at the...
she got stopped by the right customs now. And border patrol people over there at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport last week. She was found with all this giraffe poop. And the droppings were seized by border officials on the 29th after a woman returning from Kenya arrived with the animal feces, prompting an inspection by the agriculture specialists, according to the agency. The passenger said she obtained the droppings while on her trip and intended to make a necklace out of them. She told CBP officers, that's short for Customs and Border Patrol. Yeah, yeah. That she had
not
previously
as exciting as Chicago bird collision.
Yeah,
society.
Not nearly as it's not as cool at all. Yeah, they should
monitors
quit that job and move to somewhere else and make that other one. Anyway, she said she'd previously used moose poop to make jewelry at her home in Iowa. The giraffe poop was taken and destroyed by steam sterilization. Never heard of that.
Okay.
That sounds like me clearing all my game saves off of something. That's weird.
Yeah, you can steam, I guess, steam the germs off of something, but I feel like poop is, you're just going to get the outside sterilized, and there's a whole bunch of poop inside that sterile outside.
I assume they probably landfill the rest or maybe even mulch it into, it's probably good for soil, I don't know. It says there's a real, this is what the official said, there's a real danger with bringing fecal matter into the United States of America, said LaFonda D. Sutton-Burke. That's her full name. She's the CBP director of Field Operations Chicago Field Office. She went on to say, if this person had entered the U.S. and had not declared these items, there is a very high possibility a person could have contracted a disease from this jewelry and developed serious health issues.
Sure.
I don't know why you'd want poop around your neck.
That seems like a bigger question. Rather than, hey, this you could infect yourself with a disease, it should be, why are you making a necklace out of horse or out of giraffe poop? What is it about?
Yeah, there's so many other things.
What are you seeing in these little round nuggets of turds that we're not seeing?
Yeah. Explain yourself, lady.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're with your weird proclivities.
Yeah, it's a little
We'll do this final story because it happened in Colorado. Colorado connection, everyone.
Okay. Is it a good Colorado story? Because I'm tired of you sending me bad Colorado stories.
I'm going to go ahead and say
hey,
that this
Brian,
is a...
check out this airport. Hey, Brian, check out, you know, the weed stuff. Hey, Brian, did you know there's a lot of bed bugs in Las Vegas? Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian, look at all these bad things. Yeah, your airport, you know, that airport photo was hell of a nightmare. Yeah.
You know what else, though? Our governor made this last Monday or... No, it was Friday, officially Patrick Stewart Day, because that's his favorite captain of the Enterprise. So it was officially Patrick Stewart, and he gave Patrick Stewart a plaque in person to commemorate the event.
Wow. Do they do Keys to the City?
Send me that story, Scott.
Do they do Keys to the City anymore? Is that a thing?
Oh, I don't know.
Because that used to be a thing, right? Everybody was like, oh, we gave him the Keys to the City, which...
Only one key.
Never made sense to me.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's go. Let's talk. Let's talk
about this very positive story from Colorado.
Yeah.
Police found 115 bodies in a Colorado green funeral home while investigating putrid smells. Oh,
awesome.
No.
Awesome.
It's a good Halloween story at the least, right?
It is. Yeah. Good time for this.
The awful smell seeped from a neglected building in a small Colorado town for days following a report that that made police take a closer look at the green funeral operator storage facility. Inside, they made a gruesome discovery, at least 115 decaying bodies, various levels of decay. Investigators were tight-lipped Friday about what exactly they found inside the Return to Nature funeral home in Penrose,
Colorado.
Feels
like it's right there in the name. I don't see what they're wondering about.
Yeah, this is what nature does if you just let them sit. They just poof. Well, I've been to Penrose. Is that a place you know about? The little town?
Penrose. I don't even know where Penrose, Colorado is. Let's see. Let me see if I can. I bet that's got to be on like the eastern slope.
Name's not familiar to me at all. Penrose.
Penrose, Colorado. Is this down by census designated place in Colorado? Okay, so there's the map. Let me zoom out. Sure, right by the Sumo Golf Village.
Whoa.
Oh, and the hold on, we've already Penrose has a landmark on Google Maps is the Colorado Burial Preserve and Cremation Garden. So Penrose is developing quite a following. Oh, it's west of Pueblo.
Oh, okay.
Oh, on the way to Canyon City, mm-hmm. Gender reassignment capital of the world.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is that true?
It was for a while. Yeah, oh, that's that was cool. What Canyon City was known for.
What if you had? What if I went there and said, I don't want to change my gender. All right,
mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
good. I'm fine being.
This just feels like male. such easy to navigate territory.
Oh, of course.
I love this.
But yes. Will they give you add-ons, or is that not part of the deal? You know what I'm saying? Like if I went in there and said I want two for the price of one.
Oh, I see. You're saying I don't want to change my gender. I want to double my gender.
I want to double my gender. Well, are they ethically bound to say no? Would they say yes? Is it no big deal? Do they take like my calf, mush it up, and make an extra wean out of it?
I feel like if that were a possible thing to do.
Yeah.
So many people would be doing it. Like there would be, you remember what a big thing it was when John Wayne Bobbitt had his sewn back together and he was Frankenweenie or something. And he was doing porns as Frankenweenie. Like if somebody could do that, it would be, you'd know if somebody.
It does feel like you'd know. You're right. It's like in Cyberpunk, they have these doctors called Ripper Docs, and this is what they do. They tear you up and make you into whatever you want.
There's actually a medical procedure that I found. It's called an adidectomy, and
Wow! Did they take the name from the joke we told in junior high, and then and then they applied it?
They did. That's amazing. They did. Yes, exactly what they did. Yes.
That's amazing.
How come you know that joke, but you don't know any of the other ones?
I don't know. Sometimes I realize which ones are regional and which ones are local. That one I definitely heard growing up.
Okay.
We're gonna take a break though. Before I do though, all 115 of these bodies just laying about. They said it was like a total horror show. They had to bring in people who normally take care of airplane crashes, come in really? To sift through the thing. And the whole idea of a green disposal thing is that it's a lot more like back to the earth and less chemicals and all the hippie stuff, right? But these guys apparently had been slacking hard. And
but I mean, that's aren't they? Like if I say, hey, I'm going to go to this special mortuary called Return to Earth Mortuary. What was it called? Return to Earth Crematorium. Obviously not a crematorium because that's not green.
Oh, Return to Nature is the name.
Yeah. Return to Nature, what though? It's like, does it say?
Oh,
funeral home. Funeral home.
Funeral home. Got
all right.
It.
So Return to Nature Funeral Home. I'm taking my loved one's body there because I don't want it to be cremated. I want it to decompose naturally.
Right.
So was the plan that they were supposed to bury these, or were they, it feels like they were supposed to let them decompose.
Well,
they
just had
improper air lockage on their decomposition room.
Well, I think the idea, I could be wrong. Someone needs to write in about this, but I think the idea is you take them to this place and they do burials.
Okay, so they're supposed to do burials.
I think so. Then, otherwise, you just fill in a room with bodies and letting them rot. That seems crazy.
It does feel, I mean, yeah.
That seems crazy.
Somebody didn't read the brochure as to what the Return to Nature Funeral Home. Like, they just said, this seems like a good place. I'll take the bodies there.
That seems like a brilliant idea. Well done, Penrose, Colorado.
Merrick says, but also you probably don't want your loved one to become part of a big old body soup with a bunch of other folks. I don't know. I mean, if I see the name Return to Natural Funeral Home, I'm going to be asking some questions as what does that entail? I know it means you're not putting me in a plastic coffin, you know, a styrofoam. You're not putting me in a styrofoam coffin and burying me. It's probably going to be something a lot more natural if you even use a coffin at all, if I'm even getting buried at all.
Well,
anyway.
Plus, like, true nature, back to nature would be dump them all out in the forest, and letting nature have its way. That means coyotes are going to get some of you. Bugs are going to get some of you. Your bones will still be there. Like, you're going to, if we really want to do it, it's kind of a brutal concept, but that's nature.
God, that feels worse, right?
Like,
you take it to funeral home. So, well, we have two packages. One is we put them on a table in here and just let them decompose in our facility for years, or we could take and dump them out into the forest and just kind of speed up the process and let the animals eat them. Which would you like?
Yeah, give us a package deal, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, I would like them crowded in one room, please, with many other bodies.
Is that room refrigerated? Oh, no. As a matter of fact, sir, we turn the heat up as high as the thermostat will go.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. I can't even imagine this place.
That's why it's in Penrose and not in Pueblo. Yeah. People live in Pueblo.
There would have been more complaints, I bet.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, it is that time of the month where TV's Travis joins us and tries to stump us with a quiz of his own making. Will we survive? Will we go through the gauntlet unscathed? Who will be the winner on the other side? Well, you'll have to tune in and find out after the song break Brian brought.
Yeah, well, Minneapolis is not just known for their storage and destruction of giraffe poop. They've also got some pretty cool music that comes out of that place. Take Products Band, for example. Yeah. These guys are a real deal power pop and proto-punk college rock revivalists. Kind of like your Television, your Talking Heads, your early REM, Pavement, Sonic Youth, etc. I totally... dig this. As a matter of fact, I downloaded the entire album, not just this song, but this whole thing. I really, really like. This is from the brand new album, Some Sudden Weather. Here's Products Band and The Matter.
talk for a second about BetterHelp. Oh, man, getting BetterHelp can be tricky, you know? This whole episode's brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. And for 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/morningstream. Look, there have been times in all of our lives where we could use a little therapy. You know, Wendy came in here on Thursdays is evidence of that. Do you ever feel like your brain's getting in the way? You know, this can happen. Like, you know what you should do or what's good for you, but you just can't do it. You can't pull those triggers to get it happening. Well, therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of against yourself. You know, whether or not you've been in therapy personally, it doesn't matter. Now's the time. If you've always put it off before and said, nah, it's just not for me. Well, maybe it is for you now, you know? It's helpful for learning positive coping skills in your life, setting boundaries in your life, empowering you to be the best version of yourself. And it's not just for those who've experienced major trauma and that sort of thing. Sometimes it's just a little pick-me-up, you know? If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a very brief questionnaire, and then you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime with no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/morningstream today to get your 10% off for your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/morningstream. Do it.
Make Halloween fun with one-stop shopping at Woolworth or Woolco for your Halloween needs. Costumes from $1.83 to $3.99, like $6 Million Man, Bionic Woman, superheroes, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, and a new favorite for girls, Holly Hobby.
My Mountain Dew, my fish sandwich, and Johnson City await me.
And we've returned. Who was that again?
Sure, that's the band called Products Band. Their SEO maybe could use a little bit of work. The brand new album is called Some Sudden Weather, courtesy of Solid Brass Records. That is the song, The Matter.
I got a... somebody told me. Who told me this? Oh, Chuck told me this. Because I've always given them a little heat for Brother Period being a little hard to SEO, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because Brother Band is just not, I don't know, it's hard. And we've talked about Live and all these other ones, the and stuff. Yeah, and he said he thinks a lot of newer bands, like younger bands, are doing this on purpose because they resent the commercialization of the internet and they are trying to be truer to their, like, you know, rock and roll selves, their artistic selves.
It's very punk to go against the grain with regard to SEO.
Yeah, so you come up with something that's like either impossible to create a real search for, and you somehow succeeded in being, I don't know if I agree with him, but that seemed to be the vibe I was getting at.
Yeah, well, that's good. Good for them. I applaud their, I applaud their direction, their meaning, the reason behind doing what they do.
Sure. You do, you people, you continue to do you, and we'll do us. Here's this now.
This is Travis, and you'll do well to listen carefully to what he has to say.
Well, we will, because we have to try to compete, and we need to listen to what he says in order to win this little contest. Hey, hey, everyone, look, it's TV's Travis, a.k.a. Travis Crawford, all the way from wherever the hell he lives. We're not going to dox him. We're not going to do that.
Wherever the hell you're from.
Yeah, wherever the hell you're from. I think I know this, but I don't want to say. I don't know. I didn't get permission.
Where are you from? I don't think I do know where you're from.
Yeah.
I'm from Michigan.
Oh,
Michigan,
that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I'm in the mitten.
Yeah. Which which big, so you're, Detroit.
You're a looper. So there's oopers, youpers, your Upper Peninsula people, but what do you call the mitten people? You call them loopers for Lower Peninsula?
No, they're referred to by the Youpers as trolls.
Oh, because fantastic. Right,
because they live under the bridge.
Yep.
That's right. Great.
Okay. Exactly right.
They all have Reddit accounts, 4chan accounts. That works too.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, it's always good to have you on, man. A host of shows that we'll talk about later, because we always like to make sure you guys get a chance to talk about places where you record. But today, you probably brought us our little monthly contest, our little quiz.
I did. Now, there is a bit of a theme. It is October. It is spooky season.
Okay.
So,
Good.
We're leaning a little bit in that direction. So you know, keep that in mind as
that
we go through.
That definitely gives Scott, I think, an advantage because he watches a lot more scary movies than I do. So I'm excited to.
I do like the horror. I'm a fan.
Well, this we'll see always, how this goes.
This wasn't always true, by the way. Like 10, 20 years ago, I was not into it. But I, for whatever reason now, totally into horror movies.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Cool.
All right, let's do
it. I'm kind of the same way. All right, so as it goes, I will give the topic, and you will bet on how many clues it's going to take you to win. Okay. We're going to start this week with Brian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And round one, we're looking for a director.
Okay? A director, okay. So you're going to give movie titles, and we have to name the director.
I will give movie titles, and you have to name the director. So how many do you think it's going to take you?
I'm going to say three.
Three, okay.
Three.
Scott, do you think you can do it in less than three?
Director, eh? I'll attempt two.
Two, okay.
Yeah, all right. I can do it in two. Brian, do you want to counter that?
Name that director, Scott. Mm.
Okay, then.
All right, Scott, here are your two movie titles.
Okay.
Cursed, Music of the Heart.
Shit. I was really hoping that second one would ring a bell.
Yeah. Well, ring a Music of the Heart, ring a bell.
Hey. Maybe Cursed is actually the one that sounds more familiar to me.
Might be.
And you can't give us other hints like years or anything like that, right?
I mean, both of those are going to be late 90s, early 2000s, like between sort of 94 and 2005 in that range. Both of those movies.
I'll just like, this is a complete guess. I'll go with like people, a name like people know. Maybe Carpenter wasn't doing movies then, though. Wes Craven for no good reason. Wes Craven.
Exactly what I was going to guess.
And that is correct.
What?
Really?
Shut up. What?
Well done.
Hold on a second. Is that real? You're not kidding
me. It is. So Cursed was a late 90s werewolf movie, or maybe 2000. I can't remember the exact year. Starring Christina Ricci.
Okay.
Really?
That didn't do well. Music of the Heart was not a horror movie, but it had Meryl Streep in it. I think Cursed was 2001 and Music of the Heart was like 98. Something like that.
Okay.
Wow. And it was him going in a totally different direction.
Complete guess. It could have been, I almost said Carpenter, but I could have said, I don't know, any of those guys.
Yeah, that's a fantastic guess. Some other titles that would have come up. Deadly Friend. I don't know if you remember that one.
I keep waiting
for that one to show up on some streaming service because it's perfect film sec material.
It's absolutely perfect.
What was his name? Labrato and Christy Swanson as the daughter of an abusive father who gets back at him by he turns her into a robot to kill her dad.
Yeah, it's crazy.
She dies.
That sounds insane. Why aren't we film sucking?
Matthew Labrato, is that? I can't remember how his name is pronounced. It just looked like Labrato.
Labrato.
He
played a lot of nerds in the 80s. That kid.
Yes. There's also Swamp Thing, Deadly Blessing, which I don't think I've seen. Hmm.
You haven't seen Deadly Blessing?
I know. And then Red Eye would have been one.
Oh, I love Red Eye.
That was a recent film sack, right?
Yeah, we did that on film sack, and Red Eye is maybe one of my favorite Wes Craven movies. I love that movie. And people don't think of it as a Wes Craven movie. It almost isn't a Wes Craven movie. It's more of a thriller and less horror. But it's almost like when I watch that, that's like when I watch Inside Man from Spike Lee, which is so not a Spike Lee movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I always like, I don't know why I end up really liking those when they go out of their norm and do something else. I don't know.
Well, it's like Nicolas Cage and Pig. That thing is so good, and it's the most un-Nicolas Cage thing he's ever done, but it's such a departure.
Still got to watch Pig.
I haven't seen it. Oh, it's really good.
Yeah. I will watch Pig.
All right, so round two goes to Scott to start. We're doing a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you actors that were in this TV show. Now, I did go through the IMDb list and make sure that these actors were in the majority of episodes of this show. All right. So okay, I'm not doing, cool. There's not going to be like a one-off, you know, he was only in
cameo.
She was only, yeah.
Right.
Okay. But they had to have been in a minimum of, I would say a little, you know, more than 10% of the show.
Okay. Is it me or Brian? So, who goes?
Yeah, you start the
okay. It's you, Scott.
Okay. I'm going to start with four. I can do it in four.
Four. Okay.
I'll take three.
Brian, name that actor.
A TV show.
TV show, sorry.
Yes. All right. Okay. Here are your actors. Jack Nance. Kimmy Robertson. Sherilyn Fenn.
Okay. I'm thinking Twin Peaks because of Sherilyn Fenn. I'm trying to think if she was on Shameless for a while. Yeah, let's just go because it's hard. That kind of fits. Let's say Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks is correct.
Yeah, nicely
Jack Nance was,
done.
Was he, he was Palmer, right? Daddy Palmer?
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah. Dad Palmer was no, the other guy.
Oh, yeah, he played Satan in that...
Ray Wise,
yeah, right.
Yeah, he was great in that Satan
the next
movie.
One.
What was that, or Satan TV show? What was that called? Not Lucifer. What was that called? Oh, it's so good. For the first season. Second season sucked.
Yeah.
Had that Dale that. Guy from Tucker
Reaper.
And Dale.
Reaper.
Loved Reaper. Yeah. So good.
Cool.
Anyway.
I mean, I just love Ray Wise and everything.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
Ray Wise would have been the next one. And then I would have thrown you a curveball with David Duchovny because he was in five episodes.
Right.
And then the
movie where he dresses up in drag and conveys, silently acts or mimes the murder what's his face? Agent Cooper.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Kyle MacLachlan. So he basically in drag, like, oh, well, he was wearing a blue rose, which signifies that it was this kind of murder. And then he did this action, which signified it's one of the most bizarre Lynchian scenes ever.
Weird. But,
it really is.
Yeah.
All right. Round three. So we're tied right now, 3 points apiece.
All right.
Round three. Brian, you're going to start the bidding. We're looking for an actor.
Okay.
Going by movie titles.
Movie titles. Okay. Let's go six.
Six. All right. Mm-hmm. Scott?
Can I go lower than five? I can, right?
Of course, you can go as low as you want.
I'll do it in four.
Four? Okay. All right.
I'll do three.
Name that deal then.
Here are your three movie titles. Hugo, The House That Dripped Blood, and Scars of Dracula.
Oh, wow. Shit. Quite the range here, man.
Oh, okay. All right. This feels like it's gonna be an older guy like Christopher Lee. And I'm trying to think if I want to do anything, if I want to go against any Christopher Lee, but The House That Dripped Blood feels like an old horror movie.
Yeah.
And I know he was big in that, like he was used for everything back then. And I can't remember all my Hugo people, but it feels like they would have pulled in. I can't remember. Hugo was that animated or was it just, a kid in a train station?
It was just a kid movie.
Kid in a train station. That was Scorsese.
Scorsese,
yeah. All right. I'm going to say Christopher Lee. Let's stick with Christopher Lee.
That is correct.
Oh my gosh! Well done.
That's a good one.
That's all about era. That was good.
That was all about era.
Yeah. By the way, Scott, if you had gone for four, the fourth movie would have been Police Academy: Mission to Moscow.
Oh my gosh!
Would that have even helped?
I'm sorry. Is he's in that? Is that a true statement?
Yes, he is in that.
What the frick, dude?
I had fun going through his filmography and picking out movies because I wanted some of those older, you know, the Scars of Dracula. I mean, there's like two dozen Dracula titles alone that I could have gone with.
Oh God, yeah.
They're all great, too.
At one point,
fun.
I think I had six, and they were all, like, basically either Scars of Dracula, The House That Dripped Blood, or some combination of those words.
Wow.
It ended up you know, I pulled a few others, but that was a lot of fun. That's all right, great. So
Brian never, how long before we got to Attack of the Clones?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, well, we would have gotten to Lord of the Rings first.
Yeah, of course.
Well, then sure. You'd have had it for sure. Nicely done. That means Brian wins, yeah? He's the winner.
That means Brian wins this week.
Oh, my gosh, woo! Brian. You're the big winner. Here, this is for me. This is for you.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
Nicely well,
thank you.
Done.
Thank you.
Fun. Now, last month we did a fun, just one for fun, because one. It was Joe Pantoliano's birthday.
Yeah, sure.
This month, I've got a fun one. It's a music round. It's an actual song, though. So it's going to be much more like a Name That Tune. I'll give you anywhere from 1 to 12 seconds to bet. Because I have some.
Oh, wow. And you're going to play.
And I'll play.
Oh, wow. Oh, I love this.
So, like Hurdle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Hurdle, the game Hurdle.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which I called Hurdle until I thought about how it could be pronounced. Yeah.
So, oh, Scott, we'll start with you in the
with
bit.
Wordle, and I heard it.
And right. I hurdled it. All right, I'll start. No problem. Whatever you got, let's do it.
So, you've got anywhere from, I've got 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, and 12-second clips.
Oh, my gosh. And so I got to choose one, and then Brian can choose lower? Is that how it works?
Yes. Yep.
Was 4 seconds an option?
5 seconds.
I'll say I can do it in 5.
All right. So, Brian, you can choose 1, 2, or 3 seconds.
I will choose. I will choose. I really want to stab at this. I will choose 2 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. Name
2 seconds?
Name that tune then, because I can't do it.
All right.
All right.
Here is your 2 second clip.
Why? I was working in the lab late one night. Well, that would be Bobby Boris Pickett in the Crypt Kicker 5 and the Monster Mash.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Yep,
dirty
that's
bastard.
It doesn't help that I just used it for film sack, but I will say I would have gotten it otherwise.
Oh, that's right. His whole song last Sunday was that song.
The Cabin in the Woods song was
yeah, or the Cabin in the Woods, yeah. And so, of course.
Before I heard the chains, I would have said Thriller. So if I would have done 1 second, I would have said Thriller. Mm. So
yeah,
because that also begins with a creaking door, and then you get Vincent Price, and
yeah,
that's right, it does.
Very well done.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Halloween era songs. Back when I did my radio show on college radio, I would play that on Halloween. It was like I would play that and Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner.
Oh my God, Warren Zevon. Mm-hmm. Such a great song. Like the lyrics that thing are fan freaking tastic.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I miss Warren Zevon.
He was great, dude. Like me some Warren Zevon as well.
And listen, if I were ever to get, you know, some sort of terminal illness, I would hope to go out in the classy way that Warren Zevon did and like name the things that I did, the things that I produced, tongue in cheek jokingly about, oh, my ride's here. Mm. Or, this will kill. Life will kill you, or whatever. Mm. I mean, this. Man.
Yeah. What do you want? What do you want your last statement to be? What do you want? What do you want your last words to be, Brian? If you could pick them now, what would they be? let's say it's.
I need time to think about this because there's so many great examples. Like, do you smell toast? Or
I like that. I like
what's
that.
What was the? Was it? It was Walter Matthau and Alan Arkin, I can't remember who was at whose side on their deathbed, and he says, "Are you comfortable?" And the other one says, "I make a living."
I like Amy Robinson's in the chat. That about covers it.
Yeah,
that's good. That would be the appropriate one, wouldn't it, Amy?
That's on brand.
Yeah, that's on brand. That's how I end my shows, so that actually would that tracks. All right, that's one of these. Thank you, Amy.
Yeah.
Just covers it for my life.
Yeah. I'd say the bomb is located in the and then I just die, and then they'd have to wonder if I really put a bomb somewhere.
You make sure you don't finish the sentence. Yeah. Exactly.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
That's the goal.
One thing I've learned more than anything else about life is never or always.
The 5 billion in gold is hidden.
Exactly.
Something like that would be good. All right. As usual, Travis, we had fun. And I'm glad it was Halloween related because what a great time to do that, you know?
Yeah.
The spooky season is here. Okay. We're all enjoying it. Tell the fine people at home where to find your shows and what you're up to these days.
So you can find all my shows at tvstravis.com. It's a wonderful website that Bombats helped me design. And it's got links to everything that I work on there. We just wrapped up Private Investigator Month on Those Were the Days. That was a lot of fun. With we had a brand new episode out today about Murder, She Wrote. That was way too much fun to watch. And this month, every October, the Gore podcast, the four of us, take over My Wait You Haven't Seen. And we do a month of horror movies where one of us haven't seen it before. So this week, new episode will be out tomorrow, and it was on Chud. Three of the four of us had never seen Chud before. And we watched it for the first time, and we have thoughts.
Did we watch it for film second?
I was just going to ask you. I feel like we maybe did, and I've forgotten. We're going to find out now.
Chud comes up a lot just because...
It's the name, right?
Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
We did. But, 2013, December 15th, 2013, episode 188, we saw Chud. Tiny inkling of a memory of it, but... If I remember right, Chud is a very weird mixed bag. It's a strange old thing of its time.
It is. It is. At some point, you should do for Film Sack, if you can find it, Chud 2, Bud the Chud.
Oh, my gosh.
Bud the Chud. I was hoping the subtitle would be The Chuddening.
The cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellering.
Chud 3. This time it's Chud.
Oh, no. We can't have that. Well, all right, then. That sounds great. Go check it out, everybody. It is TV's Travis, and you'll find him in all the other places under that name as well. Have a good one. We'll see you next time.
See you, Travis.
Bye, Travis.
So fun. So fun. Love that game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We'll look forward to next one. All right, we got a quick text to go out on today. I talked about albinos. Now, I said everything albino is cool. Yes. And I stand by it. I really believe it. And he said, or this anonymous person wrote in and said, "Today you said albino everything is cool. I just had to tell you that my Hispanic neighbors, who are awesome, have an albino son and an albino daughter and two albino cows. That is all."
Wow.
So no judgment there. Just sounds like he's got a lot of albino in his life, and I'm here for it. I think it's great.
That's cool. Yeah. Pretty crazy to have, and he didn't say that either of the parents were albino. Obviously would have mentioned if they were, but the fact that they have both an albino son and daughter is crazy, with neither of them assumedly being albino themselves.
Yeah, I assume there's some genetic tendency, and then they just skipped them or something. Who knows?
Do you think they purposefully sought out albino cows because they have an albino son and albino daughter?
I don't know. That's a great question. When you've got, it's like when you buy a minivan, that day you drive it, you notice how many of that minivan are on the freeway because you're driving it and you're thinking about it. So I wonder if it's like, well, we got these albino kids and we really need cattle for the South 40 or whatever we're doing out there.
Yeah.
Let's go get some albino cows. Oh, that sounds great, honey. It'll be just like our family. Like that all sounds right to me. So yes, Brian, I'm going to answer your question. Yes.
Yes. And Claire is correct. We shouldn't say albino. We say a person with albinism.
Oh,
Albinism? Albinism?
Is that how everyone wants to say it now? I don't know.
Yeah.
We haven't been told this yet, so thank you, Claire, for the clarification, which is rare from her. Honestly, usually it's just like hysterics, but that right there is actually a good one. That's a good clarification.
That is a good one, yes.
Yeah, I like it. All right. Is that what that's called, though, is albinism?
Albinism. According to... I did a really quick Google search for albino Google politically search. Correct, and the first thing that comes up is, to most in the albinism community, the term person with albinism will always be a kinder, gentler, less shocking term.
Oh, all right. I'll take it.
The word albino can sometimes be an ugly, jolting word to many, especially when heard unexpectedly. If you're ever unsure, just ask. So, and this is from albinism.org. And I don't know if here's the thing. Is it albinism or albinism? I would assume, based on the way other words are pronounced, albinism.
Albinism.
But albinism.
I would agree with you. This is like the time I took Nick to Costco when he was 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And we were walking around in there, and there was a little person working there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
A person with littleism.
Yeah, a person with littleism. Whatever. I assume they still want to be called little people now.
I don't know. Little people is correct. Yes.
All right. Because eventually that's going to sound rude. I'm just telling you right now.
I know. It's at some point. Yes.
Because exactly. It already kind of sounds rude. All right. And so you enjoy it while you can, because we'll get to some new version of this. But anyway, this guy's walking around working and stuff, just working. And Nick goes, Dad. He was little, right? He's a little tiny kid. He's like Van's age. He goes, Dad, that's a midget, he yells.
Oh, no. Oh, geez.
And I went, oh, hey. Like I was like an Italian mobster who just heard something terrible.
Hey.
And I grabbed him and it really scared him because he started crying. He was all upset because he couldn't understand why I was so freaked out. And it turns out he just heard it on some show or something. Didn't know it was a negative word.
Before we knew better, I think we might have used the term midget.
might have. I mean,
or
I've got
film sack or something early on. Yeah.
I've got a friend who can't stand the term little person, doesn't like the term dwarfism. And he is technically, although he's not as small as some, but he's got little personness, whatever it's called. And he prefers midget. So I don't know what to say to anyone anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's like, I don't know why it's any big deal. I prefer you say that instead of dwarfism. I hate that one, he said.
Yeah.
He says,
yeah.
I don't like little people. It just sounds like, you know, we're about to tie down. What's his name? What's the old story where the guy comes and all the tiny people in the town tie him down?
Oh, Gulliver's Travels.
That's what he told me. He says little people makes him think of Gulliver's Travels, and he doesn't like that.
Oh, funny. Okay.
He lives in Phoenix. I think he listens. So, Derek, if you're listening, hi. All right, let's get out of here with this. Oh, if you'd like to send in a text about this or anything else, please do 801-471-0462. We would love to hear from you. And better yet, we'd love to have you in our Patreon group. Our Patreon is doing real good, and we love having new people in there. To come and take advantage of some of the great things that we can offer you. So join up today, patreon.com/TMS. That way you'll never get commercials. You'll get pre-show content every day. You get our weekend stuff, art in the mail. Too many things to mention here. It's all good in the hood at patreon.com/TMS. All right, I think it's going to do it. Do you have anything else that's going on that we should mention or do? Or?
No. I think I need to, it's Tuesday, I need to put up a new soundography. Ham and I are going to be recording today, but we're doing one of our patron movie episodes. We watched the excellent Wham! Documentary. I know you watched that one too.
Oh, it was great.
Somebody did.
I did.
Yeah.
It was very
you
good.
Did.
Yeah. It gave me an appreciation. Who's the second guy? I always forget his name.
Andrew Ridgely.
Andrew Ridgely gets so much love in that documentary, and rightfully so. He, you know, he's so overshadowed by what's his beat?
By George Michael.
George Michael. I can't think of anyone's name. Just my
Jorg Michael as Andrew Ridgely calls him throughout the thing. Is like, yeah, Jorg, because that was the Greek pronunciation of his name. It's like, oh wow, okay.
Yeah, he's great though. Really impressed with that.
Really, really good. Andrew Ridgely is freaking awesome. So
yeah. Anyway, there you have it. Let's get out of here with some music. You probably have a little something. There.
I do. Matthew Bickert wrote in and said, "I would like to request a song for my son Matthew's 5th birthday. His favorite bedtime lullaby." I'll pause anytime you want to throw in the any happy birthday.
Hold on,
stuff.
I'm trying to find my click here. Here it is. Where is it? It's right here. Let's do this one.
Happy birthday.
My favorite part of that is her at the beginning.
That breath of the hand.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Anyway,
that would have traumatized a poor 5-year-old. I'm not sure if this is a cover, but could you play the Bumblebee Tuna song by Mephiscopheles? Happy birthday, bud. Love mom and dad. And maybe for dinner, you can eat rice.
Oh, my gosh. I bet I have that handy. Hold on. I found a new way to find these quicker. Okay. First, this one, because it's fun.
Dump the rice into the thing.
Missed that guy. Weber
that
Cooks.
Guy in a while, yeah.
Well, not really, because he went to prison for child molestation, but anyway.
Well, yeah.
But this.
Then you can eat rice!
Oh, throwback.
Nice. Yeah. Excellent. Good stuff. All right. So, this is a ska tune, and it is indeed a cover. The Bumblebee Tuna song is a jingle that they've used, but boy, does Mephiscopheles add a lot to it. And of course, it is ska. So there you go. From their album, God Bless Satan, but only the bonus track version from 1994, here is Mephiscopheles and the Bumblebee Tuna Song.
Love us. Get more at frogpants.com.
The beach clothes are so gay.
Oh.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.